We get things underway, though, by getting on the telephone line and welcoming back to the program our friend Martin Rogers from USA Today, just back from the World Cup in Russia. Martin, welcome back.
Thanks, Rich. How you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you. That was not just a good World Cup. It was a great World Cup, and I saw a couple of your tweets. Is it the best ever?
I think it might be. It was really a remarkable tournament. The level of play was outstanding. The level of organization was superb. And it's funny, isn't it? So much is spoken about in Russia in these times, and much of it negative, certainly in this country. But it was weird for a lot of the journalists who were there, the players who were there, and you know, millions of fans who traveled from around the world to get there. They kind of put that to one side for a month. And I'm not offering an opinion on whether that's right or wrong, but people just enjoyed the soccer. People enjoyed this spectacular event. The World Cup is magical to attend at any time. And this one truly was great. Very, very high level of play. And you know what? The countries that are to follow in terms of hosting World Cup certainly have their work cut out.
Yeah, well, Putin can put on a show when he wants to, but of course, as is often the case, it's the people that make these things happen, not the politicians. And you found the Russian people that you dealt with very helpful?
Oh, very much so. Yeah, and they were kind of just delighted that the rest of the world had come to their doorstep. And there was a level of fascination there. You know, a lot of Russian people probably haven't been to that many other parts of the world, and they were just very keen to know what the world thought of them and to know what the world thought of Russia. And that always adds to it. If you have a people who are truly invested in it and really want the tournament to be there, it does make a difference. But bizarrely, that wasn't so much the case in Brazil 4 years ago. A lot of that had to do with the real social problems that were going on in Brazil at the time. But it didn't feel so much then that the locals were really delighted that the tournament was going on. It did this time. And like I say, you know, great moments, memorable matches, memorable performances from big players. And this one will go down in the history books as a really great World Cup.
Let's discuss some of the teams and start with the winners, France getting their second ever World Cup championship. Did this team get ahead of itself a little bit, or are they maybe where they thought they might be 4 years from now?
Amazing, isn't it? I mean, like getting ahead of itself, but I felt they never really got out of second gear. It was incredible to think that, you know, a team can win the tournament and maybe not even have to show their absolute best. It always felt like they had a little bit in reserve. They've got two absolute superstars in Kylian Mbappe and Antoine Griezmann. Mbappe's 19 years old, and we may have just scratched the surface. This guy could, I think, go on to become one of the true modern greats, you know, Cristiano Ronaldo and Lionel Messi, and not getting any younger. Mbappe is only going to improve, you'd think, as long as he can stay healthy. And Griezmann has the ability to pick apart any team, and it was always going to be very difficult for anyone to combat that. I wrote a column after the event, was like, you know, of course France was always going to win, but we managed just to convince ourselves that it might not happen. Like, soccer fans are romantic. Maybe Germany can do it again for this and this reason. Maybe Brazil can make it their time once again. But if you really looked at the cold hard facts, the evidence was there all along. France had the best team, the best individual players, the best coach, the best organization, the best midfield. All those things typically add up towards good things happening for you.
Other than a team like the United States that didn't even qualify, which team maybe went backwards in their level of play against the rest of the world?
Definitely Germany. Yeah, the champion from 2014 looked sensational in 14, looked brilliant. Even a year out when it won the Confederations Cup and was a strong favourite in most people's minds to really go deep again. Didn't even get out of the group. Finished fourth in its group. Lost to Mexico in its opening game. Lost to South Korea in its third group game. Bounced out. You know, not what you'd expect from not just a defending champion, but a very dominant team from recent times. And Germany has to really look now, where does it go? Does it keep any kind of faith with the old guard that won it the World Cup 4 years ago? Or does it just completely wipe the slate clean, not just with new players, but with a new system, new coach maybe, and a new tactical approach? I think that probably is the way they will go, because this was a disaster for them.
And which team, obviously Croatia, surprised a lot of people. Who else has positioned themselves well to be a serious contender in 4 years?
Yeah, I think Croatia, this was their chance. This was their last hurrah in a lot of ways. They talk about the golden generation of Croatian soccer, Luka Modric and even Rakitic, and I think it'd be difficult for them to sort of match it again, even in the European Championships 2 years from now. I think Belgium, a lot of people saying that they're sort of big generation coming towards us then. It isn't really. There are youngsters coming through who can take the places of some of the older, the passing stars, if you like. I think Belgium looking very strong. England, obviously, have a bit of vested interest there, but England has a young squad, average age of 26, which is young nowadays for international soccer, and a young coach as well in Gareth Southgate. They definitely would have been encouraged by what they saw and felt here. And internationally, I think Japan are just going to get better and better. Almost beat Belgium in the round of 16, 2 goals up, and we're unfortunate sort of really that the Belgian comeback started with a lucky goal. I think if we're going to see a team from outside of Europe and South America really break through, it is going to be the likes of Japan. They have very, very great organization in terms of their soccer structure back home, a wealth of talent coming through, investment in the game, and all that kind of thing. Other people may say Mexico are sort of knocking on the door as well, but for me, we may see a Japan team go deep, like really deep in a tournament before too long.
What does Ernie Stewart have to do to get America back in a position, maybe not to contend, but just to get into the field next time around?
Yeah, $1 million question. Well, multi-million dollar question, really, if you think about it. Yeah, I mean, U.S. soccer hired Ernie Stewart as this kind of director of soccer, if you like a GM position. It's going to be very tough, but I don't think there's any doubt that the U.S. will qualify in 4 years' time. I mean, it took a kind of miraculous confluence of events for them to miss out this time. They still almost made it, as bad as they played all throughout the campaign. They'll definitely qualify, but as we saw, U.S. is a long, long way away in terms of talent from these very best teams in the world. Now, those things can change quickly. What it needs, really, is for a few stars to come through and just a good, solid foundation behind the coach that believes in the players and have the players believe in him. Christian Pulisic needs to just drive forwards and carry on and potentially become one of the better players in the world. There's guy Weston McKennie, who's a young lad who plays in the German Bundesliga for Schalke. Young, improving all the time. U.S. fans don't really know much about him yet. But if you have three or four of these guys come through playing at top level, and I'm talking to the not just European, but Champions League type level, then you have a chance to build a squad around that. The U.S. is always going to produce players. There's so many people in this country, but you don't want a squad packed with mediocre players. You need a squad packed with solo players and then three or four guys who are the game changers.
This was such a good experience this year in Russia. What's the level of concern right now for what things will be like in 4 years in Qatar?
Yes, it's a really interesting question. Going to these events gives you a little bit of a different kind of perspective. Now, I still think it was a stupid decision and probably a corrupt decision to take the World Cup to Qatar in 2022. A lot of very negative things have happened in that country and continue to happen in terms of the migrant workforce and so on. Now, when you look, though, at World Cup, you have to think at what point does it become the individual's responsibility to do something about it, and at what point does it become the responsibility of FIFA or other countries or whatever. For example, a lot of people have a lot of problems with the politics of Vladimir Putin and Russia, his treatment of the LGBT community, treatment of minorities, annexation of Ukraine, the Crimea, and all that kind of stuff. Yet people still went to the tournament and had an unbelievable time, a life-changing experience. Where do you separate it? Are people supposed to boycott Qatar in 4 years' time? I think if anyone goes to Qatar in 2022, I think they'd have an unbelievable time. It's a very small, compact location. Fans don't have to spend 24 hours at a time getting trains and planes and whatever to all these different cities like they did in Russia, like they would have to do in the United States, a lot of flying and traveling all over the place. I think anyone who goes will have a great time if they're able to put their politics to one side. And look, we should not be naive about this, Rich. There are many, many people around the world who are saying the same thing about U.S. in 2026. Mm. Oh, there's all kinds of gun crime there. They have a president that we don't agree with. Should we go and enjoy the tournament? Are we allowed to enjoy the tournament? Or should we let our politics say to us, no, we're going to boycott it? It's a personal question. Anyone who does boycott on conscientious grounds fair play to them. For me, I don't know. For me, the World Cup is big enough that it's okay. If you decide to go and just enjoy the tournament and have that great experience, it doesn't make you a bad person.
Martin Rogers, USA Today. Martin, it's always great for us to talk with you. We appreciate you making time for us this afternoon.
You got it, mate. Take care.